I would like today to look at something that has value, and I would like to try to ask the Lord to help us to see how much value it has for our life. Sometimes I will go to a hardware store, and sometimes maybe you've even heard it on advertisements. It said, now this is true value. In other words, the money that you pay for this is going to be well worth it. It's true value. What I have today is something that is, if we could get a hold to it, it has true value. The subject I'd like to look at this morning is the value of a thankful heart. How much value is there? We're going to find there is more value. It's a challenge to me as I have been looking at the value of having a thankful heart. You know, even just the rain that we got last night and today, you know, a thankful heart, when it starts pattering on the windows, we just say, thank you, Lord, I sure appreciate it. We needed it so much. You know, there are many people that don't even acknowledge that in God. It's just, this is climate change. This is just what happens since the Big Bang has come about. But you know, for us, there's a lot of value for us to have a thankful heart. And what causes, what do I need to cause me to be more thankful? There's something that I need to be able to have, and I'd like for us to start with Psalms 100 and the third verse. This is one of the things, that the ingredients that I need to be able to have a thankful heart. In the third verse, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The secret, I believe, for us to be thankful is when we realize who God is and who we are, how great he is and how dependent I am on him. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, he made us. You know, there are people today that feel like they're a self-made man. I am the one that took myself from poverty to wealth, and I will write a book and tell you how to do it also. I like seeing people that are willing to apply themselves to hard work and become successful. But you know, at the end of it, we got to realize it's he that has made us and not we ourselves. It has come from God. And I look at, how would you explain that to someone who doesn't understand? Paul tried to do it over in Acts. When he was on Mars Hill, over in Acts, the 17th chapter, and 24 and 25, he's trying to explain to them who God is, and he says this, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwells in temples, not made with hands. He's not worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. You know what? If everyone in this world understood that and realized it to be so, you know, we would have a lot more thanksgiving would be given to God. He giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And then he goes on down in the 27th verse. It says that if we seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. You know what? Whether we are saved or unsaved, he helps us to be able to live and move and have our being. So mom and dad, from the time I was very small, would tell us at mealtime, stop. No matter how hungry you are, don't start eating yet. We're going to pray. And we're going to thank God for the food. You know what? That is the beginning of something to cause me to have a thankful heart. And go back to Psalms 100, where it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. I don't ever want to come to the place where I say, but wait a minute. I went to work this week and got the money. I'm the one that bought the groceries. I am the one that is responsible for this. But you know what? There are a lot of people that when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, that is one of the critical times for heart attacks. I know several people that have died when the alarm clock went off in the morning. And you can hear, I mean, I have trouble with it too, but I don't mean that way. But there are people, there's something about from sleep to alert that causes it. You know, that is what caused me to have my heart beat irregular, was that. One day, years ago, when the alarm went off, it just, the sudden jolt from it, from then on, it has been irregular. So there's something to it. But to realize, you know what? It doesn't matter how much money I make or how hard I work at it and I provided the groceries. If God doesn't help me to be able to get up out of the bed in the morning. So all those things, if I will realize how dependent I am on God, it's going to cause me to have more of a thankful heart. And that's what Mom and Dad was trying to do for me, is instill in me, yes, here's food on the table. It took our money to be able to buy it, but it backs on up to where God provided it for us. And you know what I have to be kind of careful about even today is we can let that become a habit. Oh, I've done it for 64 years now. We just don't eat until we pray. But you know what? I need that prayer to still be a real acknowledgement to God. I thank you for this. And I do realize that if you didn't help me, it's you that has caused this to be able to come about. And so what happens to a society or to a person that fails to be thankful? You know, the Bible tells us, watch this path. You will see something happen when a person does not become thankful. So let's take a look at it. Over in the first chapter of Romans. Because you know what? We can look at this chapter, and if you read it, you will say, you know what? That's describing our world, the world conditions today. In Romans 1 and 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You know, we're able to look around us today at what God has created, being understood by the things that are made, even as his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And then something else happened. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And when we lose that realization, things can happen to us. They failed to be thankful. A few years ago, they sent up the Hubble telescope. And I remember seeing pictures that they sent back, and they were so impressive, of things that you cannot see with your natural eye out there. Well, just recently they sent up one that is much better than that. I believe it's called the James Webb Telescope. And if you've looked, you see some pictures that the Hubble was never able to reach out and see. Well, what comes to your mind if you've been able to see those pictures? What comes to your mind when you see it? I'll tell you what comes to my mind is the first verse of How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe is displayed, and we're finally coming to a place to where we can see more of it. You know, there was a time that people could only see what they saw with the natural eye, and they had to work from that. Then things were invented to help them to be able to see more. You know, I really believe God is pleased for people to be able to see more, depending on what it causes us to do. Because there are some things that, what would the mission statement be for a cause like that? What if their statement was, I tell you what, God is great. We have been able to see some things. We went to the moon and saw what he has created. And now he's allowing us to see more. Is that their mission statement? Here's the mission statement that I read from them. Because of this now, what we're able to see much farther out into space, it says, we will now be able to look at every phase of cosmic history, including the first glows after the Big Bang that created our universe. You know, they left God out of it completely. And when you start to work a math problem, but you got one part of the formula wrong, you'll never come up with the right answer. And so I was looking at that. Where would we be if our quest for knowledge about the universe, all of the scientists that are studying it, if it all began with Genesis 1? We all agree on this. This is where it started. Now look at where it is. What if the background music in the facility where they received these pictures from the telescope, what if they had quietly playing "How Great Thou Art"? Or if we had one, the one that we sing, number 43, "Our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty from his royal throne on high. What a mighty God we serve." What if you could hear that just flowing in the background as you see, oh, here's another one. It's reached out farther. This God is so amazing. But instead, what does it say? "Because that when they knew God, had an opportunity to know, wow, this is what God has done. They didn't glorify him as God, neither were they thankful." What if it would be that they would see all that and say, "God, we thank you for everything that you have created. We're just now seeing more and more." Instead of, "We're about to be able to truly explain where we came from, the Big Bang." There's some things that, there's some price tags hooked onto that. I was looking at, without acknowledging that, what would God really want to be able to do if he could say, "You started with Genesis 1, now here I want to take you to another phase. I want you to be able to see farther out there." I think he would be pleased with that. But instead, there's a price tag that goes with it. Romans 1 and 25 said, "They changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever." And here's a price tag, 26th verse. "For this cause, God gave them up." What did it back on back in there? They were not thankful for what God, who God was, what he had done. When they had an opportunity to be able to see God, they didn't. And God gave them up. You know what? Young people today are faced with much more challenges than I was faced with. What they're faced with today is something called transgender. You don't want to be a boy? Okay, we can make you to be a girl. You know what? There's a price tag with that. And they're telling us about the price tag. They say 25% of those people are contemplating suicide. Why? Weren't thankful for who they were. You know what? For us to be, it's important for us to be thankful for who we are. I'd like for us to look, because even for us here today, I'd like to look at the value of being thankful. Look at Romans 9 and 20. "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus?" And I would like to just think of that verse this way. Lord, why did you create me the way I am? I'm not satisfied with it. You remember way back there in Genesis 1 and 27, it says God made them male and female. God is responsible today for the way he makes a person. And you know the value that would come from me saying, God, I am thankful for who you made me to be. We look around us and we see the price tag of it not happening. There's a verse in 1 Timothy 6 and 6. We have heard it before and we think about it with money or temporal things. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'd like for us to think about it this way. Godliness with contentment for who God made me to be, it's a great gain. I'll be able to be satisfied with it. You know, there's a song that the children have sung in the past. I want to thank you, Lord, for making me me. You know, you think of the distress that can happen if I'm not satisfied with who God made me to be. and I want to be able to change it. There's a lot of money spent on changing who I am because I'm not satisfied. Let's just take one area. Hair. If they got it straight, they want it curly. If they got it curly, they want it straight. If it's white, I want it black. Sometimes if it's black, I want it white. And I thought about this for myself. If I were to decide tomorrow, I am tired of this white hair that I've got. It just makes me look kind of aged. So you can take care of that. You can take care of it from Walmart. This jet black hair dye. So I put it on, and tomorrow I got hair like a young man, black as can be. But you know what happens? Hair grows. And in just a couple weeks, I'm going to have a white stripe coming up behind it. You know what? How much value there is in just being contented? God, you made me this way. And I am very thankful for the way you made me. Because we can look at the world around us. There's a big old price tag to not being thankful for just who God made me to be. Just satisfied. I've had people tell me before, they said, your face is starting to wrinkle. Let me tell you about some cream that'll take those wrinkles away and make you look younger. Well, then I got my hair color. I can't hardly get up. I'm walking slow now. You know, it is great to be contented. Lord, I had that phase of my life where things were good. I have this phase that I'm going through now, and you'll walk with me through that. You know, you think of the distress that people will come to be getting old and say, I do not want to be old. I am going to act like a teenager. I am going to burn up the rest of this candle fast by trying to act young. You know what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. So I look at this. You remember in Jeremiah 18, it talks about going down to the potter's house. Well, you know, that potter's house can be about him working with attitudes in my heart and everything. But I'd like for us to just look at it because we're facing some things today. Young people are going to be faced with it. We're all hearing about it, where people are not satisfied with who God made them to be. They want to be different. And they say the reason for the suicide rate being like it is, the contemplation of it, is because the rest of us are not accepting it. But I'd like for you to think about something. There is a lot of contentment that can come from me knowing God made me this way. He wanted me to be this way. I remember a time when, it's been years ago, if you were short, you could be tall. They had heels for men. Now, it'd be kind of hard to work in them, but you could platform, you could raise yourself about 4 inches on a pair of shoes. But you know, it's hard to get around. I look at some of these, I don't know who came up with the style for the women to have spike heels and walk all day with your foot trying to slide out of the bottom of them. And I can just see them coming home when they step in their door, kicking those things off and saying, I'm through with that till tomorrow when the world tells me I need to do something like that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Went down to the potter's house. And I recognized what he was wanting to make in me, and I thanked him for it. You know what? It's also with the potter's house, there's changes he wants to make in me of attitudes and those kind of things. I can accept those also. But I'd like to look at another verse. You know, we're facing a lot of change in our society around us. But there's a little verse that I'd like for us to, because the Bible gives us some good, clear instruction. And ought to be sending back some thanksgiving to him. You know, we're dealing with all this Roe versus Wade here and all this about abortion. Look at what the Bible says in Psalms 139 and 14. I will praise thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I'll praise you because you made me just like I am. And thank you for it. Well, we're facing something else. It's called climate change today. And I used to think that that's a political thing. But you know what? I think people have come to the place where it's a great fear of what the future holds and the destruction that can come because we cannot control the climate. We are not controlling it. I remember it wasn't called climate change when it first started. It was called global warming. But then God messed that title up when right after they named it and put that name out, and Washington, D.C. had probably the biggest snowfall they've ever had. It shut the city down. And you could not travel. You could not move about. And I saw this sign somebody put in the snow and said, "Can you tell me about global warming?" You know, then you got to move away from that because we have changes come. You know how great it is for us to thank God that He is in control of the climate? If He sends us rain, we can thank Him. If it is dry, we can call on Him. It causes us to call on Him more. Folks, there can be a peace. You know, Jesus said, "I've got a peace that I want to give you." This is part of that peace of being thankful for what God does for us. But I used to think it was political. But you know what? I think there's a great fear that people have today. Remember that verse in Luke 21 and 26 that says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after the things that are coming on the earth, what they expect it to be." You know, there are, talk about losing your peace. If you were to try to follow in your heart the things that they are saying, they're saying that the sun is going to burn out. Well, if you went to Monarch a couple weeks ago and sat outside underneath that shed, you'll know what? The sun has got a lot of potential left in it. What they do is they look way out. A few billion years from now, it's going to burn out. You know what has kept it putting off producing the heat that it is now? You know, we can heat our home, but we're going to pay for it. We're having to buy something to fuel it. God set that in motion back there in Genesis 1, and it has produced the right amount of heat and the right amount of light since that time. I say, what a mighty God we serve. And we sing a song. It says, "I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No matter what happens in my life, He has promised to be there. And I can be thankful for that." There's a peace that can come from a promise that God made to Noah. It was in Genesis 8 and 22. There's going to be, until the end of time comes, we can take this verse right here and have confidence and thank God that He's in control. In the 8th chapter and in the 22nd verse, let's always, when you hear about a gloom and doom future, right here is what God said. "While the earth remaineth," there's going to be seed time and harvest, "cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." God set it in motion. It will work the way He wants it to work. So there is a song that we sing. "There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave the world far behind. There's new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find." You know what? We can leave all the fears that the world has, just leave them behind, because God is in control. You know, there is a lot of peace can come to me when I just take Genesis 1 just as it says and say, you know what? God spoke and it came into existence. A thankful heart has a lot of value. So I'd like to look at a few verses over in Psalms 92. Because there's some value to us having a thankful heart. 92:1. "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness at night." Not just, okay, I need to say a little prayer in the morning time, but just throughout the day, I've got a thankful heart. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. A thankful heart that He's in control of it all. Then there's over in Psalms 119 and 62. At midnight. You ever woke up at midnight with a worry about something that needs to be fixed the next day or was not fixed the day before? What am I going to do at midnight? At midnight, I'm going to rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I wonder how well it would work for us if we wake up and we've got a turmoil of things that need to be done and all that. And say, I tell you what, I've had it happen to me before. Wake up and there was something that I need to fix tomorrow at work. I'm not going in during the night to fix it, but I'm going to lose sleep laying here thinking about it. What if instead I would rise and say, okay, I tell you what, while I'm awake, I'm going to send up thanks for the past blessings. And if I run out of those, I'm going to just give him thanks for who he is. He's well able to take care of my problems out in the future. I think it will do us a lot of good. Replace those worries with thanksgiving. We sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And it says, as thou hast been. You know what? I can be thankful. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be. And here's the reward from it. We talked about it already. But it's in John, the 14th chapter. 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So with the world being in a turmoil of what they expect just a few years to be, as far as climate, we can have the peace that Jesus wants to be able to give us. There's another verse over in Colossians. Talks about how we can just kind of release it. Colossians in the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. I like to think about this as having a faucet. It's available. There's what we need is available, but I've got to be able to open it up. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what? I can close it down and I not let the peace of God rule in my heart. In troubled times, I can let his peace rule. And one of the things for it to happen is have a thankful heart. Thankful that I know he is in control of it. So I want to close with another thought for a little bit. Have you ever told the Lord, Lord, I wish I could know what your will is for me? What if he could write it on the board and say, this is my will for you? You know what? He does that. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Is that possible? In everything, I give thanks. You know, that's going to do something for me when I have a thankful heart at all times. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There was a person that gave thanks at a time when it seemed like there's no way it could be possible. And that was Daniel. Over in Daniel 6 and 10, there had been a decree made and Daniel knew it was going to cost. It could cost him his life. Don't pray to any other God but to the king when you have a request. If you do, you'll be thrown into the lion's den. He'd heard about that being signed. He knew it was a law now. And here's what he did about it. In the 10th verse of the 6th chapter of Daniel, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. His windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he closed the windows and got in his closet. Doesn't say that. He had his windows open like he had been praying before. They're still open, just like he's always done it. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed. Now, you would think his prayer would be, Lord, I'm in big trouble. I need your help. And maybe it was. But there was something else he added to his prayer. He prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. just like he had been thanking God on the days before when everything was going good, today he has thanks again to God when he knows that he could be in the lion's den that evening. How can you do that? You know what I believe is he realized God hasn't changed. Does it mean I know I'm not going in the lion's den? You know what? The three Hebrews did not know that they would not burn in the fire. You can tell that by what they said to the king. Be it known unto you, O king. He's going to deliver us. He's able to deliver us. He's going to deliver us. But if not, you know, they had kind of had that thing settled. They couldn't lose. And this one with Daniel, I think what he did was probably what he did when they first captured him and was taking him to a foreign land. Because we find they, even the people that had him as a servant, testify that he had an excellent spirit. There was something about Daniel that was different than other captives they had brought in. I believe what it was is Daniel had a realization, God doesn't stay at Jerusalem. God is everywhere. And he is here with me in this trouble. And he can be with us in our troubles. And for that, we can send up thanks to God, telling him that I sure appreciate what you've done for us. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, no matter what trouble comes to us, I can be thankful that there's a promise in the Bible that said he will be there for us. So how valuable is it that I be thankful? It's very valuable because it affects who I am and that how much I realize that I need God. But does Jesus care if we're thankful? He does. And the example that I saw from that was when there's 10 lepers and he tells them to go show themselves to the priest. And as they go, they're all healed. And one returned while the other 9 went on. And Jesus noticed that. He said, weren't there 10? There's only one. Where's the other 9? There's only one that has come back to give thanks. I want us to, myself out in the future, I want to more practice. It takes practice. And it takes the Lord helping us out to have a thankful heart. Whether things are going well, it's real easy for me to have a thankful heart when everything is going well. But you know what? Sister Maxine, in this, I could kind of see that as being the same as Daniel was. She's a captive right now. But you know what? She could either let that get her down, or she can rise above it and, like Daniel, still 3 times a day, I thank God. For what? I thank you that you have promised you will never leave me nor forsake me. None of us know what can happen in our future. You know, it can happen so fast that changes come to us. But let us, as we go out into the future, and I want to do it myself, let me practice having a more thankful heart. When the times when things are going great, it's pretty easy for me when I have food on the table, clothes to wear, things are going fine, I got a good job. But should those things turn, I can still be thankful for what? That God promised he would never leave nor forsake us. He'll be with us all the way. And I am very thankful for that. And you know what? It has great value. Because should I not? Romans 1 explains what can happen to a people who fail to be thankful. I think that thankfulness went farther than just the words that they spoke. It was an attitude of heart that caused them to turn. And what it says is there came a time when God gave them up. You know, I am so thankful that God wants to control our lives. We're seeing out in the world today people that God has given up. I don't want that to happen to me. I desire your prayers. I want to have a thankful heart.